talks about when Israel gets into the land that they were promised, that they are to be thankful that God brought them there. And they are to reveal that gratitude through their giving. Amen. So notice verse 1 of chapter 26. It shall be, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. So tonight, we focus on the first fruits. The first fruits. Let's pray. Lord, how blessed are we to be able to assemble even in the evening and open your word and to learn from Israel. I pray, Lord, we will learn tonight how to express our gratitude for all you've given us. And Lord, that we would truly be changed through the power of your precious word. That the Holy Spirit would be in control, that you would guide all that's said and done, and it would be pleasing unto thee. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. Verse 2, the first of all the fruits of the earth. Back in those days, there wasn't a lot done with money. There was a lot done with the actual crops or the fruit that one would produce or would be produced, I should say, from the land. And did you notice that when they were to bring this fruit, this first of all the fruit, that they were to express their gratitude for what God had done for Israel as a whole, but also for them individually. That verse 9, he hath brought us into this place. Amen. We're finally here. Now, they're not there yet here in Deuteronomy 26. Moses is preparing them and saying, once you are there, once you have your peace of the promised land, this is what I want you to do, God is saying. Every year I want you to bring the first fruits, and I want you to go to the place where the priest is, and I want you to essentially thank God for what he's done for you. And I want you to reveal that gratitude through the first fruits. Why does God want the first fruits? Does he need them? No. Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills, God says. The earth is mine and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell in it. God already owns everything. So why is it important that God get the first fruits? Well, because God always wants his portion first. Because he's worthy of it. And to teach us how important it is that we put him first in all things. Amen. Think about Elijah. I think I preached in that passage to Patatadu recently where he was sent to that widow, remember, and met her outside of town gathering a couple of sticks. She said she just had enough to make her and her son one cake each. They were going to eat it and die because the famine was so intense. What did Elijah say? Yes, go make the cake like you said, but make mine first. Seemed unreasonable. But with that came a promise, and the oil will not fail. And God kept that widow and her son and Elijah alive all through the famine by miraculously providing oil in this empty vessel. Make mine first, he said, to teach a lesson. God's always comes first. Amen? That's how it has to be. Look at Proverbs 3, 9. And that's not just about money, although that is part of it. Often people will come to me and say, you know, our budget says that we can't afford to tithe. Can't tell you how many times I've heard that in 35 years. And here's our budget. We're proving to you that we can't afford to tithe. What do you think I tell them? Always the same thing. Tithe anyway. Amen? And make sure that when you're doing your budget and you are going to tithe, that God gets his first, not afterward. You don't pay all your bills and then God gets the leftovers. No, you give God his first. And what does God promise? Well, let's look at it. Proverbs 3, 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, God doesn't have to do this, but what's beautiful in the scriptures is whenever God tells us to give them the first fruits, he attaches promises to it. This is another example. He could just say, bring them, done. But instead, he says, so, if you will honor me and put me first and bring the first fruits to me, I'm going to fill up your barns. I'm going to fill up your presses. I'll bless you in return. And that's a scriptural principle all the way through, isn't it? Given, it shall be given unto you. So God is teaching Israel this right from the start. When you get in there, I don't want you to forget why you're here. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. And God's miraculous provision, God rescuing them from Egypt, God bringing them across, fighting these battles for them, and then letting them have this land. Did you notice that they were to bring it, as it says, to the place where God assigned? Bring it. Bring it. Well, God tells us the same thing. And I know things are really weird right now with online banking. It really messes a lot of stuff up as far as biblical illustrations go. But let's imagine that it's 10 years ago. All right? So Malachi 3:10, let's turn there. When we didn't have online giving. And what does God say here when he's talking again? So here we are at the end of the Old Testament, and God is rebuking Israel for what? Not bringing their offerings to him. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Amen? Bring them. Here they're told, bring the first fruits. Don't mail them. Don't have someone deliver them for you. Bring them yourself to the place that God will assign. You bring them personally every year to the priest, these first fruits. And when you do, I want you to declare your gratitude that you're in the promised land and that Israel has been protected and blessed by God. Here, Malachi, bring ye all the tithes. 1 Corinthians 16, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores. God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So we see that, yes, money's part of it. But for us as Christians, it's more than that, isn't it? It's more than just our income, our possessions. God wants first place in everything. Right? Matthew 6:33, we can turn there, but we all know it because we sing it constantly. But let's turn there, Matthew 6:33. God wants the first fruits even of our goals. God wants the first fruits of our plans. God wants the first fruits of our decisions. Matthew 6:33, seek ye what? What's the next word? First. Amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what? Here's a promise. All these things, there it is again, All these things shall be added unto you. All of what things? This is where he spends the time talking about clothing and food. Seek ye first. Put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So God wants us to give him the first fruits of every aspect of our Christian life. 2 Corinthians 8:5, if you want to turn there quickly. 2 Corinthians 8:5. Paul here is commending the church at Corinth. Oh, I'm sorry, not Corinth. Macedonia. And he's telling Corinth about Macedonia. And look what he says. 2 Corinthians 8:5. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first, there's that word, gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Yes, he's commending them for their giving, their sacrificial giving to help people in need, people that have lost their jobs and their families because they had trusted Christ. He says these ones in Macedonia, what? They first gave their own selves. They gave their complete selves. You know, the Bible says we're to be a living sacrifice. So God wants us to give him the first fruits of, yes, our money, our income, our possessions, but also our goals, our decisions, our plans. Even if you look at 1 Peter 4:2, he wants us to give him the first fruits of our time. I would think if that were true that we'd be better off spending time in the Word of God in the morning rather than at bedtime. That's just me. Because that's the first fruits of the day, isn't it? It's a new day. God should get the first fruits of the day. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2, that he no longer, talking about Christians, should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. The rest of his time. We all have the same amount of time. Does God want the first fruits of our time? Yes, he does. He wants it first. Psalm 5:3, if you want to turn there. David understood this principle, that it wasn't just about money. It's about life. It's about everything. It's about our goals. It's about our plans. It's even about the time that we have. For Psalms 5:3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. David said, Lord, I'm going to start my day talking to you. Amen? That's giving God the first fruits of your day. If you start off your day talking to God, being in God's Word, it's giving them the first fruits of your day. God wants the first fruits of everything. Amen? Now let's go back to our passage, because when they bring the first fruits, which they have to bring it to that place where the priest is, here in verse 10, I brought the first fruits of the land, look at verse 10, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. So not only do they praise God for being in the promised land, which, remember, the promised land for us represents the victorious Christian life. So we're praising God every day for allowing us to live the Christian life, doing our best to live it as we're commanded to. Amen. And what does he want? He wants us to acknowledge that it all comes from him. Everything. Thou hast given me. Lord, I'm not giving you anything. I'm returning to you part of what you gave. And that should always be our perspective. Amen. When we talk about first fruits, we're not giving God anything. We're just honoring God with a portion of what he gave us. It was already his. See? David understood this in 1 Chronicles 29, if you want to turn there. This is the story where David was not allowed to build the temple, the first temple, because he had been a man of war. But God did give him permission to do the fundraising for the first temple, which would be built by Solomon. And so David went on a fundraising drive. And something happened that doesn't usually happen in fundraising drives, and that is they raised too much and they had to tell the people to stop. We've got too much. But notice what David said. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. He says, "But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." That should be our perspective about everything. Our time, our treasure, our talents. Lord, it's all yours. And of thine own have we given thee. We're just giving back a bit of what you gave us. David understood this, didn't he? All this gold, all this silver, all these other things that these people were just bringing in droves to build the first temple. David said, "Who are we that we should be able to give so much? It all came from you anyway." So when God asks for the first fruits, it's not because he needs them or wants them. It's because he wants our hearts. And he wants our gratitude that we're even allowed to be in the promised land, which for us is a victorious life filled with joy, filled with grace from our Lord. Every day needs to be a day of thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've saved me. Thank you, Lord, that I can serve you today. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've given me, the gifts you've given me, the talents. Thank you for giving me another day to breathe. In return, may I give you the first fruits of everything. I'll give you the first fruits of my day. I'll give you the first fruits of my plans and my goals and my finances, of course, is part of it too. So in verse 10 of our passage, "Which the Lord, thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord," and what? Worship. Worship. When we think of worship these days, people are, all they think about is singing. We have a worship team and a worship group and a worship this. There's more to worship than just singing. Now, singing's part of worship, but you know when we give to God, that's worship. When the wise men came, the Bible says they kneeled down and they worshiped. And they presented unto Jesus gold, silver, or frankincense and myrrh. Is it gold? Anyway, yeah, I think it's gold. But the Bible says they worshiped Christ and brought him those gifts. When we give the first fruits to God, that's an act of worship. And that's what it says here. You will worship the Lord by giving God back the first fruits of what he gave you, and that's in everything. That's an act of worship, which is gratitude and thanksgiving, isn't it? Thank you. It's essentially saying, "Thank you, God, that I'm in the promised land, and thank you, God, that you provided this in my life, whatever it might be, wheat or apples or whatever. Thank you. You gave it to me, and I'm here to say thank you." It's an act of worship. But verse 11 is interesting, isn't it? "And thou shalt rejoice." Amen? "Thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee." Our God is so good. How often do we just stop and rejoice? What? In every good thing. How often do we just stop and rejoice? "Lord, I have eternal life." How often do we just rejoice in that? "Lord, you've allowed me to have a family. You've allowed me to have my health." We could go on and on. Rejoice in the things that God has given. Don't just worship. Don't just bring the first fruits. But then rejoice in every good thing. Because we serve a great God. And he's saying, when you get into the promised land, I'm going to bless you beyond measure. Now, it didn't last very long, sadly, because of their disobedience and their worship of idols. But he says, I'm just going to pour out the blessings in this land of milk and honey. I'm going to pour them out. Why? Because God's good. And God's going to bless His children. When they're walking in obedience, God always promises to bless His children. And He says, that's what I'm going to do, and I want you to rejoice in what I've given you. That's one of the things, you know, that the Calvinists are terrible about this. They just walk around, woe is me. I'm such a dirty, rotten sinner. Can't wait for Jesus to come because life is so bad. No, we should be rejoicing in everything that God has given us. He wants us to rejoice and enjoy life. He promises to bless if we put Him first. And in return, rejoice, be grateful, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. So what a great lesson. You're about to go in, Israel, and when you get there, you're going to be blessed. I'm going to win your battles for you. It's going to be a land that flows with milk and honey. Everything's going to grow like it's supposed to. You're going to plant things and they're just going to be fruitful. But don't forget, I want you to bring those first fruits every year. And when you do, I want you to declare how good God is. Amen? That's what they're supposed to do. Every year they're supposed to come and say, my father was a Syrian, about to die, talking about Abraham, and look what God has done. Look at how big Israel is now. Look, we're finally in the land that God has promised and we've been waiting for. Praise the Lord. This is my way of thanking God. I'm going to bring Him the first fruits every year. You and I, we need to bring God the first fruits every day of our life, of our goals and plans, like we said, of our time, and of course, our treasure as well. And He always attaches promises with these commands to bring the first fruits. It's not just the fruits, amen? It's the first fruits. Because God should get everything first. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, how we are blessed to be Your children, to have eternal life, to have Your presence, the Holy Spirit, to have Your word in our hands, to have the hope of heaven. What more could we say, Lord? I pray we learn to rejoice in the goodness that You show us every day by giving You the first fruits as an act of worship and gratitude. Lord, that we continually every day put You first in everything. And we know the result will be, as You said, our barns and our presses will be full. Thank You for who You are, what You've done, and how You've spoken to us tonight. We love You so much. In Jesus' name, amen.